In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Grace to you and peace from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us make a name for ourselves. The people in that broad valley say to one another, let us make a name for ourselves. And isn't that, to some degree or another, isn't that what we are all trying to do? Make a name for ourselves. Whether it's that we want to be famous so that everyone will know our name, I would never wish that on my worst enemy. Or whether it's because we want to do something important or significant that people will remember us by after we're gone. The only difference between us and those people is that we would never say us and ourselves, we would only say me and myself. Because we are proud of our individualism and our independence. Let me make a name for myself. Mostly today it happens as we try to create our own identities. We call it finding ourselves, but really we are the ones inventing it. We are presenting a face to the world. This is who I am. This is what I do. This is what I like. This is my name. This is who I am. We create our own identities, and we believe that if we can just get to the bottom of who we are and find that, then it will be as secure and as strong and as sure as a tower built with bricks stretching into the sky. But in fact, the things that we create and the things that we invent, even our own identities, they are only as certain and sure as we are. And I don't think that's all too certain, what we are. We are constantly in doubt about who we are, constantly facing challenges. What if we're not really who we say we are? What if we are not actually the person that people see? What if we are living a lie to others or to ourselves? The people say, let us make a name for ourselves so we will not be scattered over the face of the whole earth. But God does not want them to make a name for themselves or us to make a name for ourselves, a name that can never be certain. A name that cannot be a firm foundation. God knows how flimsy are the works of man. He doesn't want us to have our own name. He wants to give us a name. Because what is the name of those people? They are the sons of Adam. I know it says children of man, but that's not what it says. It says the sons of Adam. Because in chapter 5 of Genesis, it says that Adam had a son, and he was in Adam's image and likeness. Not God's. Adam's. And these are the sons of Adam who have gathered here in this plain, and they have the image and the likeness of Adam, and that image and likeness is sin and death. And God knows it. He comes down to see what the sons of Adam are doing. And he says, if they have done this because they have one language and one speech, then they will not stop here. It says nothing will be impossible for them, which sounds like the bad misuse of Philippians. Nothing is impossible for the one who believes. But it actually says nothing will stop them from doing anything they want. They will not be stopped. Not that they can do impossible things, but that they will not be stopped from doing whatever they can think of to do. They will not be stopped unless God stops them. And we know how this goes. We know with what we people can do, we in fact, for all intents and purposes, speak one language. And our technology is spread across the whole earth. We are essentially one people when it comes to doing these things together. And look what we will do with technology, which is meant to serve and be good for the people who make it, but in fact, very often, it exploits them and it uses them as means to some other end. We can do anything, and so we ought to do anything. We are able to do it, so we should do it, even if a few people get hurt along the way. We will not be stopped unless God stops us. So what God does here, he scatters them. He does exactly what they are afraid of. This is why they're there, after all, to build this city and this tower and to make a name for themselves so that they will not be scattered. God comes down and he scatters them. Same phrase that they use. But it is exactly what he does to Adam and Eve when he sends them out of the garden and scatters them from Eden. He does that so that they will not eat from the tree of life and live forever in death. And so here also, he stops them from making a name for themselves, a name that can only end in sin and death, so that he can make a name for them. And actually, it begins in the very next verse. Verse 10, which you don't have there, you have to look it up. Verse 10, it says, "These are the generations of Shem." Maybe that doesn't sound like that's the beginning of God's work, but it is. Because Shem is one of the sons of Noah, you remember. Shem's name literally means name. He's named name, that's what he's called. Shem is the name. But Shem is the one through whom God is going to bring Jesus. You follow the story from Noah to Shem and all the way down, and you see that Shem is the ancient ancestor of Jesus. God's going to make a name, and he's going to give it. And it is the name that is above every name. The name is Yahweh's salvation, Yahshua, Jesus. He gives that name, a name by which you actually can be saved. In fact, the only name under heaven by which you must be saved is the name of Jesus. The only name, not my name or your name or any other name. God gives a name by which you can be saved, a name you can call on and be saved, a name at which every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. And that is the name that Jesus gives. He says in John's gospel to his Father, "You gave me this name and I have given it to them. Glorify your name." And this is what happens at Pentecost. Because God the Father sends the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus, as Jesus promises his disciples. And the people whom God scattered, Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia and all of those other hard-to-pronounce places, all of those people are people God scattered so that he could gather them in his own name. Paraphrase St. Paul, he scattered all so that he might gather all. Gather them under a name that can have no doubt, a name that is certain, a name that can be a foundation, the true cornerstone. He gathers them, their own names from the places that are named in Acts, and he gives them a name, Christ. So they are no longer only Parthians and Medes and Elamites, but they are Christians. They are Christians. This is the name that God gives when he gathers people together. When Peter is done preaching, the people say, "What shall we do?" And Peter says, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the Holy Spirit. And this promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, whom the Lord our God will gather." He gathers them by this name. He has gathered you by this name into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. A name that was trampled on when he was walking around on the earth. Spit upon, mocked, crucified. But God raised up that name above every other name. And now you have an identity. You have a name that cannot be taken from you. It doesn't matter what anyone says. It doesn't matter what kinds of doubt is out there. It doesn't matter what people think of you or what they say about your name. Because you have a name that God has given to you in Jesus Christ in holy baptism that cannot be shaken. It cannot be removed. It cannot be broken. It cannot be taken from you because Jesus is risen from the dead. If Jesus cannot die, then his name, which he has put on you, means you cannot die either. So now we have one language, one word. No matter where in the world God's Christians might live, we have one word. It is the word of God in flesh, Jesus Christ. And we will, together with one voice, one speech, rejoice and praise our Lord together from every tribe and every language and every nation and every people. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, now and forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.